It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's a magic marker. A felt pen.
It's a mistake.
It's a trap.
It's a fucking comedy.
It's quiet. Maybe too quiet.
It's all happening.
It's a good day to die.
It's a good day to talk about movies.
Welcome back. It is a good day to talk to Matt St. Jack. I am your host, Duncan. Joining me as always is Gardner.
Welcome back, folks. Good to have you here again.
And we will be joined shortly by a fellow podcaster from the show Anime Talk, who is also an aspiring writer in the independent movie space. So get excited for that. His name is Matt St. Jack, like I said, and his show is Anime Talk. So if you're into anime, definitely check that out. He's been told that he's had a great voice. I know I've teased that earlier, but we also say that in the episode. So that's brought up, a little tease for the episode. And if you're into it, like I said, I know we have some listeners who are very into anime. So I would recommend checking out Anime Talk, like I said, from our guest for today. Before we do get into that, I want to remind you guys what we do on GDT. Here on our show, we have four episodes a week. On Monday, we have a bonus episode where we go through our short film, Nostalgia, which we're working on. We've had about five or six episodes of those, so check them out if you missed it. You'll learn all about the short film, what it is, and where we're going with it there. On Tuesdays, we're going through the Marvel Cinematic Universe, movie by movie. Last week, we did The Incredible Hulk, and up next is Iron Man 2. Those episodes release every Tuesday, like I said, and they have hosts Chris, Jalen, Mac, and myself. And just so you know, for those Monday episodes, they're hosted by Nyatsva, since I didn't mention that earlier. Those MCU episodes are fun because we get to go through all the past episodes, or I should say the past movies in the MCU, but also whenever there's a new drop, we'll be going along with those too. So when Thor 4 comes out or any new show comes out, we'll be following those along as well. On Thursdays, we have our bonus episodes, our regular bonus episodes, where we usually have a guest on to talk about a movie they love, or we just talk about any relevant TV show, movie, anything that we think is relevant for the topic. It might be something new, but those are pretty free-for-all. Our full episodes release every Friday, where we have our interviews with independent filmmakers and other people who are associated with the independent filmmaking process. That's what you're listening to right now, and that's where we have our interview today with Matt St. Jack. Those are our four weekly episodes, and on top of that, we have our Sunday episode that releases once a month. That's a super bonus episode that is by me, Kari, John, and Stevie P. Those episodes are, like I said, only once a month, so they release the first Sunday of every month. So one's coming out next Sunday, actually. So get excited for that. I won't tell you what it's coming up on, but stay tuned for that. That's what we do on GDT. We have no need for a spoiler warning today because we were just talking about Matt's career and where he's going with it. So I think I'm going to stop talking now. What do you think, Gardner?
I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. First of all, if you like anime, I mean, he's clearly very knowledgeable about it. He's very passionate about it. And if you like to hear about other people's writing process, if you're a writer yourself, I think there's a lot of good insight here. And I really enjoyed our conversation.
So there you have it, folks. You heard it right from Gardner. I'm going to vouch for that. Why don't you guys be the judge, though? Here it is, right here, right now, our interview with Matt St. Jack. We are joined now by a very special guest, writer and host of Anime Talk, the podcast, Matt St. Jack, is here with us today to discuss both his podcasting and his writing.
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's going on? What's going on? I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. We're excited to have you. This is going to be fun, I think. So first, before we get into it too much, would you like to introduce yourself and talk about your background a little bit? I know I just mentioned that you do Anime Talk, but I'd love for you to tell our audience a little bit more about that in case we have some anime listeners who'd love to, you know, get to know that podcast as well.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, my name is Matt St. Jack. And like I said, I have the show Anime Talk. It's you can find me, you know, on I'll give you my socials in a little bit, but it's more like I do a lot of anime talking, whether it's like different rankings, different shows, different movie reviews, different just show reviews and stuff like that. Pretty much anime, you know, 365 to 24/7. Like, that's pretty much all I do. It's just me. Like, I have a lot of guests on. Like, I do a lot of really fun things though. Like, just recently we did Women's History Month, which was really cool. I brought in a lot of producers that were like all women and just kind of gave them an opportunity and a platform to kind of speak. Black History Month was another one we did. And coming up soon with Memorial Day, I actually brought on a military vet because I'm a military vet myself, but I brought on a military vet to kind of come on and talk about, you know, what Memorial Day means to him and stuff like that. So I try to kind of mix in holidays and stuff like that. I did a Mother's Day special. Father's Day special with my buddy who's a dad. So I just try to do like little like cool things to kind of offset it. But yeah, pretty much all anime all the time, man. That's pretty much me.
Oh, well, we love to hear it. And that sounds, I love the idea of having different like themes, I guess, and, you know, relevant themes to the month and the holidays, and also touching on things that we here on GDT and our listeners as well know are very important, like women's rights, as well as, you know, Black history and stuff like that. You know, it's important. And, you know, I'd like to say thank you for your service as well, because that's also, you know, important stuff too.
Appreciate it.
Beforehand, we talked a little bit and you mentioned, and I'd like to tease right now, that you're actually working on a second podcast that you told me a little bit about beforehand, and I think that is super cool. So I'd love for you to tell our audience a little bit about that, if that's possible.
Yeah, for sure. So obviously this is like a first. I haven't even talked about this on my show. So this is like the first time anybody really hearing this besides the president of our league or of my community. So I'm actually going to be working on, I coach youth sports. That's another thing that I really enjoy. I've been doing it for about 4 years now. I coach 9 and 10 year olds. So that's always fun because that's right there at that like peak age where they think they know a whole bunch, but they don't know a whole bunch. So it's always fun to kind of coach there. But this year I'm going to try my best to actually put together a podcast for my community out of Smyrna, Tennessee. So I'm going to put together a podcast and just kind of get some of the feedback, talk to some of the kids, give them an opportunity to kind of have a voice and be able to share something with grandma, share something with mom and dad, go to school and be like, hey, if you listen to this episode, you know, you can hear me talk about my favorite, you know, sports player or my favorite like football player or whatever, and how many touchdowns I scored in this last game or something like that. Just give them an opportunity to do something different. So, you know, shout out to the president, Derek, for giving me the opportunity to do this. I would say that, like, that's the nice version of it, but really he was like, don't you already have a podcast? And I was like, yeah. He was like, well, why don't you just make a podcast? And I was like, I don't think that you understand how much goes into this, but okay, yeah, I'll do it. Like, I've been coaching with him for 4 years, so when he asked me to do anything, I jump at the hat. He's also the person who foots all the bills for all my alcoholic nights, so I can't really say no whenever he asks for something, so.
Respect. And I think that's going to be not only great for the community, but great for other people. Like, for example, myself, I just recently joined Big Brothers Big Sisters as a big brother, and I have family and nieces and nephews and stuff, obviously, but not a lot of experience working with kids before. So getting to hear that perspective of that dialogue, I think will be really helpful for people who are wanting to work with kids and help out the youth, but maybe don't have a ton of experience. So I know I for sure will definitely be checking that out.
I appreciate it. It's all about the kids.
Absolutely. So we've talked a little bit about your podcasting and the future podcasting, which I know I would like to say I agree with Gardner. I'm super excited to hear about that. I think it's really cool that you're doing that for the community, and it's really cool that you coach too. Like, that's awesome. So definitely respectable things to be doing, and super cool that you give back to your community like that. So awesome stuff. And we do love talking about podcasting here on the podcast, but we also like to talk about filmmaking as well. So I'm going to ask a little bit about your relationship with film and screenwriting, because I know that you've been working on writing a couple screenplays. Yeah, I want to start by asking, yeah, what is your relationship with film and screenwriting? And where'd you start?
So, I mean, obviously I love movies. I don't know anyone that doesn't really love sitting down and watching a good movie. My best friend is a cinephile, like, and literally to the point where he can, like, you can just start talking about a movie and say, like, maybe one or two characters that's in it. He's like, oh, yeah, you're talking about this. Like, he's a complete cinephile. What actually kind of got me into it was I was watching, ironically enough, I was actually watching an anime. And as I was watching this anime, I was talking to my friend about it. And I was like, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is kind of cool. Like, this is kind of cool. But I was like, but if only they had done this, or if only they had done this. And so he came back and he was like, he was like, why don't you just fucking grab a damn pen and just write one yourself then, if you think you can write it better. And so I had like a, literally I went and they had like a little used, I don't know, like a little yellow notepad, and it had pages already ripped out or whatever. And he was like, here's a pen. Why don't you sit down since you think you can write one out? And I was like, bet. So I started working on it. I started writing kind of from there. And I'll go into detail, I guess, a little bit about that. I don't know if that's what you're wanting me to do, but I'll go into detail a little bit about that. First of all, I have to tell a very traumatic story. I was writing on this, and my company, who will not be named, but my company that I was working with, they actually flew me to London to help start a new line of business. And I'm on a plane from Vegas, because I was living in Vegas at the time. I'm on a plane from Vegas, sitting in first class, the posh spot, you know, they like all expenses paid. I didn't even sit down before the lady asked me what I wanted to drink. And I was like, dude, I've made it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've never flown first class. And I'm talking to this guy who's like a CEO of some company, and we're just rapping, and he's like talking to me and I'm talking to him, and we're drinking. And obviously, you know, we're drinking and drinking and drinks are flowing and we're all good. I leave that book, my first book that I wrote, the first edition of my book, in the back of the plane. I get to the airport in Carolina, and I'm like, man, I just had this great inspiration, because I was watching anime on the flight. I was like, I had this great inspiration. Let me write it down in my book. I'm looking through all of my luggage, all of my suitcase, can't find it. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. So you're, you know, trying to find lost and found is dead, because I mean, you're about to take an international flight. And I literally was sick the whole way. And mind you, it's like maybe a 13-hour flight to the UK, like from there. And I'm like, the whole way, I'm just sick to my stomach. And I'm like, maybe it's for some reason, maybe it's in my underneath, you know, bag or whatever. Knowing that it wasn't, because I was writing on it in my carry-on, so I knew it wasn't there. But I got there and it was just gone. So fast forward to a couple years ago, randomly, I was like, man, I really wish I had wrote that book. I really wish I had those ideas. I go and I log into my OneDrive or my OneNote, and all the bare bones, like none of the cool stuff that I had, all the bare bones was still in my OneNote. So I luckily had transferred a lot of it over. And so I've just kind of been trying to pick up the pieces as they were. So yeah, that was crazy.
I cannot think of a bigger nightmare for a writer.
It was horrible. And we're talking like old school composition notebook, like the old black and white checkered notebook. Like, it had all my notes to myself. Cause when I write to my future self. So I write like, hey, think about this, or hey, you have to give this person a name or give this event a name or something. So it's like all my future notes just like gone. And I'm like, at this point, I think the scariest or most irritating part or frustrating part is knowing that if somebody was to potentially get their hands on and they pushed it out, I wouldn't have the original copy anymore. And so I don't think that I could really have a leg to stand on if I was like, oh, that's mine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to sue you because that's my idea, because technically you have my first copy in hand. So I think that's the part that makes me sick the most about it.
So you mentioned that the inspiration for this kind of came from watching something and wanting to do it better, and your friend even saying that, you know, you should. So have you ever tried rewriting something else, like taking a script that was already rewritten, and then rewriting it? Because that's a tactic that I've heard screenwriters suggest to other screenwriters, like when they're starting off, at least, for example, to find your own voice, find how you structure it and stuff like that. Have you ever done anything like that? Because it sounds like you were like almost on the precipice of doing that from the beginning, where you were thinking about it that way, at least.
Yeah. And like I said, I know you expected me to kind of go a little bit in depth on that. I didn't do that part. But so I guess I can answer kind of what they're about, the two books that I was kind of writing on and I'm kind of working on, and then answer this question as well. So actually, one of my books, I decided to kind of go like the route of like code name. So like my first book was code name Obelisk, was what I thought about. And then the second one was code name Now You See Me. So essentially what they are, the first one is specifically based off of what you were just talking about. Well, actually, both of them kind of are. So the first one has a bit of Death Race. Like, it has like aspects from like Death Race of like being able to fight or be able to race so many times to be able to get out of jail. So it's a similar kind of premise there. It has a little bit of like Gundam Wing. So that Gundam Wing is probably one of my favorite animes that I've watched like growing up. And so it has like the mech feel. So it has like the big robots and stuff like that in Obelisk. And the second one, codename Now You See Me, and I'm using this because it's also a code name. So if somebody was to think about stealing it, I'd be like, I just changed the name. Codename Now You See Me is actually loosely based off of Sherlock Holmes. We all know the story of Sherlock Holmes being this smart and brilliant detective who was able to unravel and kind of think through things, right? And be able to solve the case. Well, the essential idea, there's a lot more that obviously goes into it, but the meat and potatoes of it is this is actually a villain who is learning and adapting to the way that Sherlock Holmes solves crimes. So as Sherlock Holmes is kind of going through and like solving this crime or whatever, he's at the same time taking notes and figuring out how he was able to deduce this and figure out like how he fixed this and be able to kind of like be his nemesis. So he's basically going through the story trying to figure out, okay, Sherlock was able to figure this out. How can I trip it to where he'll never be able to figure this part out? So it's kind of like a back and forth where Sherlock Holmes always uses the bad guy to be his nemesis and kind of like outsmart him, like in the old movies like Moriarty and a lot of the different things like this. Kind of puts a spin on the opposite side. So like you said, just those are ideas that I watched or things that I listened to that I'm like, oh, that's dope. What if I flip this? So,
and when you talk about your writing, mm-hmm. You know, I have to ask this because you host Anime Talk, you know, are you doing, is it purely prose, like novel format, or are we talking about like comic books or manga or something like that?
So actually there's a book that really got me started on a different approach, more of a graphic novel, which was Log Horizon, where they have a lot of like the writing of like an actual book, but then every maybe like 10, 15 pages, they'll have like a picture or something like that of like the scenery or a random character or something like that that's in there, to kind of have that manga feel, but it also kind of writes like a book. So more of a hybrid, I guess you could say, approach.
So you're writing anime, kind of manga, like you said, hybrid stuff like that, where it's prose at points. Is there a genre you've mentioned, like the detective mystery stuff, and then also obviously being influenced by, I guess, action with the big mechs and the, you know, Death Race is action, I would say. So is there a genre, like obviously anime is a genre in its own, but is there a genre within that like a subgenre that you like to write? Like, is it mysteries? Is it action? Which one would you say gets you going when you're writing the most?
Honestly, I've written a lot of the first ones. I've written a lot more of Obelisk, just because it's been, like you said, more of an action. But to me, it's like, it also has an aspect of like a love story kind of baked inside of it. So I do like an underline, like one thing that I say on my show all the time when anybody asks me about like how do I say that like an anime is good or something, it has to have an underlining romance. Like, it doesn't have to be front and center. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I need to hold your hand, I need to kiss you in every single episode and tell you that I love you. It doesn't have to be that, but just the friction and the tension that you see between the main characters, or like a male and a female, like to me, that, like, I love that. So I think it has a little bit of everything, because even in like Now You See Me, like, it's the same way. There's still an underlining love interest. And in this one, like, I think that I went more of, like you said, the mystery, but still a love, like, kind of romance. It still has a little bit of action in it. So just I want to make sure that, like, when I read something or if I'm watching something, there's always something that I'm like, okay, they could have, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? You didn't sit down and make the movie, but, like, everybody always has this opinion of, like, oh, what could have been done better? So for me, I always say that, like, the more genres that you can hit, there's always going to be one that you fall under, but the more genres that you hit, like, everyone loves horror, right? But then when you're listening to a horror thing, like, it's different if it's a horror and it's a documentary. It's a difference if it's like based on real life, you know? So like when I'm writing and I'm trying to think through these things, I'm like, okay, it can be an action and that may be the umbrella, but at the same time, I want to make sure that it has elements of the surprise, elements of a thriller, elements of a little bit of romance, elements of, you know, a little bit, hell, it can have elements of a musical. I don't know how you write a musical, but you know what I mean? Like, if it has music in it, I'd be okay with that. I just feel like there's one umbrella, but I think that as long as you're hitting different genres within it, then I think that dynamic kind of makes it better for the viewer.
Speaking of genre, you're talking about Now You See Me and the mystery element, the Sherlock Holmes and the arch nemesis being the core of that story. How do you approach writing a mystery? You know, do you decide what the outcome is going into it? Do you kind of find out what the intrigue is as you're writing the story? What does that process look like for you? Because I know everyone has a different approach to writing a story like that.
Yeah, that's a good question. So honestly, how I've kind of thought through that one and how I've kind of written that one was, I guess you could say back to front. So understanding what I want the end goal to be and how I want the character to actually be, and then trying to, and then actually, because I wrote this, like I said, specifically off of the main character, which for the sake of this, we'll call him Black, right? So for Black, the way that I wrote it is I understand his trajectory, and I wrote out the character in a way that I understand, like, this is how you are, this is how your personality is, this is what I want, where I want you to end up. And then the subsidiary characters, like your Sherlock, like his apprentice, and like the lovers and things like that, I wrote their stories backwards. So I understood where I wanted him to end. And then I wrote it to where, and I'm writing it rather, to where everybody fits in somewhere in that story. So I pretty much did like a timeline of how I wanted it to go. And then I just found out, hey, how does this character fit into this timeline? How does this character fit into this timeline? And then I wrote Sherlock, or I'm writing Sherlock rather, the opposite way. So he's starting more at the front to the back. So basically they're on the same, I guess, timeline. They're just going opposite directions, and then figuring out how people fit into both sides of that, if that makes sense.
Does that make writing the middle of the story a big challenge for you, because their arcs are kind of intersecting right there?
Yes, that's a tough part. Because here's the hardest part about this, right, is I respect everyone who does art in any way, shape, or form, whether it's anime, whether it's books, whether it's, you know, movies, whatever. So I never want to poach anybody's ideas. So it's interesting because for me, I want to take elements of Sherlock, but I don't want to make Sherlock. And I'm giving him a different name because obviously I'm not going to give that name. So it's like you're essentially developing Sherlock, even though he already exists, but then changing him to where he fits into your story. So like you said, he's constantly evolving. And I think that's the toughest part about this, is because the way that I thought this out, of like them constantly trying to one-up each other and constantly like a snake kind of chasing its tail, it's tough because when you're writing it out, you're thinking like, well, okay, he was able to solve this mystery. Now I'm trying to think of like, well, how was he able to undo this mystery? How was he able to undo the undo? So they're constantly kind of like eating at each other. So the middle is definitely the toughest part. And that's that in itself has been quite the challenge. So that's a great question, but yeah, really tough.
So are you using scene cards then as you're writing them out? Are you doing it like scene by scene and mapping it out before you actually start doing any like dialogue or any actual specifics of a scene, and you want to figure out the overall outline, I guess, before you jump into like writing an actual scene itself?
Yeah, that's essentially what I do. What I do is like in both of them, that's why I said that's why that future writing is so important to me, is because essentially what I do is I go back in and I just write out every single idea. Like I have a notebook that I write out just every single idea that I'm like, okay, this is everything that I want. I want it out of my head. I want it on a piece of paper. Just give me the outline. And then, like you said, I kind of go back in and I'm like, okay, now this scene. Now this scene, now this, and then like you said, I go back in, I'm like, hey, now this dialogue, how do I want him to talk to this specific person and things like that. So it's more of like, I guess you could say like a layered approach. So I put everything out first and get everything out. And as I'm thinking about things, I write them all down. But, and then I kind of come back in and I say, okay, now how do you fit? Where are we at the beginning? Where are we at in the middle? Where is he supposed to be for the end? And then I kind of fill those gaps in. So.
And when you're writing and you're looking to bounce off of somebody, every writer looks for feedback and shares their work and talks to somebody. Can you give us maybe the best piece of feedback you've ever gotten? Like the most valuable piece of feedback where someone illuminated something to you that you were like, damn, you know, either I didn't notice that, I didn't realize that, or I just wish I had thought of that myself.
Bouncing to the other one. So bouncing to Obelisk. Like I said, it's that one is purely based off of, like I said, the mecha genre. And one of my really good friends, he's like a second, I mean, I wouldn't even say he's a friend. He's more like a second dad to me. He's actually he's my anime senpai. So when I first got into anime, he was the first person that really got me into anime. And so he was the one that, like I said, challenged me to write my first book. So with him, I naturally am an overthinker. And like I overanalyze like everything. So when I have an idea or I'm writing something out, like I bounce ideas off of him because I'm like, hey, this is what happened. What do I call this? Or how do I word this out? And he's like, okay, let's sit down. Let's figure out like, what are you saying? So what are you trying to do? Like, what are you, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are you actually trying to accomplish here? So he kind of gets me into that step back approach where he's like, okay, you've got the idea out. Now let's sit down and let's figure out what name, how do they like one of the, and to your point. So one of the examples was currency, right? The majority of Obelisk is built in the very beginning about kids. So it's like, okay, well, in order for kids to buy different parts for their mecha, like their mechs, how do they get currency for this? Like, are they, you know what I'm saying? Are they stealing parts? Are they, you know what I mean? Like, are they, you know, are they stealing money? Like, what are they doing? So for him, like, he sat down and was like, okay, well, instead of doing this maybe based off of like credits or money, however they're getting it, maybe somebody has like a part-time job or somebody's kind of funding more of this, or maybe there's like teams that are like, they have sponsors, or, you know, he kind of bounces those ideas off of me. So like I said, when I put out the outline and I put out the specific beginning, middle, end, he kind of comes back in and we kind of tag team. He's written books before, and so he's like, when I think about things that are like gaps or things that are holes, he's like, people aren't going to like that because you're not giving them the answer, or like you're not explaining this to them. So think about, you know, how you're going to explain this, even if it's not now, is it in the future? Are you writing in the past? So he always gives, it's living, so it's kind of tough to really, I guess I'm saying all that to say it's tough to answer that question, because when I'm asking for feedback for him, it's more living. It's as I've kind of written it out, I've given him the copy to kind of look through it. And then as he's reading the outline or whatever I gave him, then he kind of comes back and he's like, hey, red pen, like we were in school, you know, he's like, red pen, this doesn't make sense. How are you going to explain this? How are you going to do this? And then we live have a conversation about it. I plot it down or jot it down, and then we go from there.
And when you're working with him or by yourself or maybe even others, is there something that you've noticed that is a mistake, maybe, or not even a mistake, but something that comes up that you want to fix in your screenwriting? Is there something like an issue that pops up that you feel like comes up more often than others that you've noticed is like, oh, maybe this is something I need to work on. Maybe this is something that is like rearing its head a lot. Like maybe like, I don't know, and anything like along the lines of, oh, I keep trying to do this and it's not working, for example, or anything like that. I don't know if I don't want to call it like mistakes, but something, you know what I mean?
Like a misstep, maybe?
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. Yeah, where you like you end up resolving it, but it's like something that you see popping up a lot, maybe.
Yeah. On, like I said, for specifically about Obelisk, and this is an easier one to talk about because I have more of this one written than I have of Now You See Me. But like in Obelisk, like one of the toughest parts was writing in the future and trying not to do it as much, because like the way that I kind of structure that one is it kind of starts off in the future and then it goes backwards. So like it starts off in the future and then we pick up, you know, at the beginning kind of thing. So you get to see a fight and then you're like, okay, how did we get here? And then it shows you how we got there. So I've done that a couple of times. And as I'm looking at it and as like I'm working through it with Tom, he's like, you can only do this so much, because eventually what ends up happening is it's like, where's the beginning? Because you've done this, you said we're starting at the beginning, starting at the in the future, we're going back to the beginning, and now you're going to start this in the future, and then you're going back into the beginning. Like eventually it's like, what, there's a confusing timeline. So I've done that a couple of times, and it's been, like you said, it's been easy to fix, because instead of doing that, I just understood, okay, instead of writing this in the future, again, let me just start from the beginning and write to the end. You know what I mean? Instead of saying like, okay, future, middle, or future, beginning, just future, beginning. And then how do we get back to where we started? Like the first point, how do we get back to that? So now I'm writing going forward on how we actually end up at that point. So, and then kind of continue on from there. So basically get to the point where we started and then keep going into the future. So that's one thing that I've kind of done.
And I know we already asked you a little bit about your writing process, talking about like scene cards and like how do you plan out the plot itself? But I'm also curious to ask you about the inception of ideas. I love to find out how people go about finding those ideas. David Lynch, for example, has one of my favorite metaphors for finding ideas, where he's talking about catching the big fish, where if you quiet your mind and you wait for the right one to come along, like fishing, like if you're just sitting on the shore and you're waiting for the right one to come along, and then you pull it up and next thing you know, you've got an idea and it didn't exist before, but you waited for it and then you found it. And some people meditate, some people hike, some people play sports. That's the book. That's the book. Duncan's copy. I got a copy that Duncan sent me also. Great book for anyone listening that might be interested in writing or anything creative. But anyway, I'm just curious, when it comes to you and your process, is there a methodology that you use, or are you a struck by lightning kind of guy?
Both of these were more so struck by lightning. It was, and it's crazy because when I started writing Obelisk, I sat down and I was so into it. I was enjoying it. I was like, dude, I'm just putting all this stuff. Every time I had an opportunity to like pull out even my OneNote, my phone, I downloaded OneNote on my phone just in case I had ideas. I had a notebook, which I don't have the notebook now because somebody's kind of looking through it right now. But I was just writing. And as I was writing, there was a specific character that I was actually developing and kind of writing through. And I fell so in love with that character writing this one that I felt like he was going to be a wasted character. I felt like he was going to be a wasted character in this because he wasn't my main character. He wasn't, you know what I'm saying? He was a lovable character and a character that I wanted to put more of myself into. And so I took that character out of Obelisk, and that was the spark for Now You See Me. So it was like a character that I had loved so much that I was like, dude, he is an amazing character. He just can't exist in this realm, in this book, because there's already, this book is specifically built around this one character. So I literally plucked him out, put him into another book. And then I was like, well, what about that book? And so I just kind of started writing on that one, and I had to bring myself back and was like, stop, like, you got to finish one, because you trying to bounce back and forth between these two books is going to, you know, it's going to cause, you know, a headache going forward. So yeah, it's interesting that you asked that, because that's literally how that kind of happened. It was just struck, you know, I just got struck by lightning one night when I was writing, fell in love with a character, and I was like, I love you so much, but you don't deserve to be here. You deserve to be over here. You deserve to have your own story. And so that's how that kind of happened.
You may have mentioned this already. I don't think you did, but forgive me if you have. Are they in the same universe? And if so, is it something where you would consider, like, is it like a follow-up? Like, is one going to be like chapter two? Like, I know right now they both have code name at the beginning of them, but that's kind of like, again, a code name, right? So, but like, I keep picturing them as almost like a one and two with almost different characters. Like, I don't know, like, what are they called, actually? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, which obviously isn't called the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series.
It's about, what was that, The Chronicles of Narnia?
The Chronicles of Narnia, there we go. Could not think of that for a second. But it's like how that, like, I think the second book is, like, completely different characters from the first book, for example. So I was wondering if these would be set in the same universe, and if so, like, would you consider, like, maybe, like, one of the characters does pop up, like, as a tie-in, like, maybe even, like, later on in the second one? So, like, you're reading the second one, and you're like, oh, this is all well and good, and then, like, then you're just like, oh, this is a character from the first book. This is the same universe type thing. I don't know if it's anything that you've already written into it, or if that's like an idea. Like, I am maybe a sucker for that kind of thing, like the Tarantino, all of those movies technically happening in the same universe. Like, that gets me going. I love that kind of stuff. And the same thing with books. I think it's similar. Like, I think I love when a story is not necessarily tied directly to a former book or a former book in the series, or maybe not even in the same series, but by the same author. I think that when there's a little indirect tie, that can be very interesting. So I was just curious if you've thought about that at all.
So that's actually a really good question. as of right now, no, there's no like tie-in. I think that they're essentially set in different periods. So like I said, this obelisk is more in the future. It's more of like a, I guess I've talked more about Now You See Me. So obelisk is more of like in the future. So essentially, it's in a world essentially where like the earth is kind of, I guess you could say like, lacking certain resources to kind of like exist and like stay alive. But what they have is like, so the rich people live on Earth, basically. They have like little cities and stuff like, or these major cities set up, but the rich people live here. And what they've kind of done is in order for them to get the resources and to them, or, you know, use energy sources and things like that, they've set up these like space colonies, and they have the poor people go live on these space colonies. And basically they mine the material that the earth needs and then ship it back here. So it's more in the future, whereas Now You See Me is based on like that old Victorian style, like Jack the Ripper, you know, old school Sherlock Holmes feel. It's more of a very much like dark alleys, Victorian period, you know what I'm saying, like candle lit, you know, lamps and stuff like that. It's more of like that old school feel. So they don't necessarily tie in, I guess, in that sense.
All right. Yeah. I think that's a very fair answer. I'm just going to say, I'm throwing it out there, a vote for either like a great, 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 great grandson type deal, or like maybe your third book is like introduces like some immortal character. And he was around for both time periods. I don't know. I'm throwing out ideas, all right? I love that kind of universe. I love those universes. I know I can't shut up about the tie-in stuff. But no, that makes perfect sense. I'm joking around a little bit. But that makes sense that they're just completely different time periods, different stories. And they're obviously different genres, too, within the, like you said, they both have the underlying love story. But they are both very different, it sounds like, in where they're going with their stories. So I think that's probably... you know, you're the writer, it's your stories, obviously whatever you pick is the right way to go, but I think it makes sense as well. I think what you're saying also like tracks, you know what I mean?
It's interesting that you say that, because I think about like shows that are like that a lot of you know, animators do a really good job of that, and the first one that comes to mind, and I absolutely love it, and I talk about it every chance I get it because I absolutely love it, is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, when it starts off, it literally starts off with the great, great, great grandpa, I think at this point, and a bad guy. And then essentially the show is set up where it's like the bad guy resurrects, and then it's like the grandson. Then it's like the bad guy continues on. It's like the grandson of the grandson. So that's the great grandson. And then it switches over. It's really cool because they switch over at one point where it's now Dio, which is the bad guy. It's Dio's descendant that's now the main character, and then JoJo's descendant is actually kind of like the bad character, I guess you could say. So they like switch universe, or like switch roles. So it's really cool. But like you said, it starts literally at the very top of like their great, great, great grandkid, you know, great, great, great grandfathers. And then it just kind of transcends time. We're talking 8 seasons. So you have generation after generation now of JoJo versus Dio at the very top. So it's interesting that you would say that. But now that this one doesn't necessarily have that, but that's a good idea though. The third one could potentially be something like that to tie into either the first one or the second one. That'd be pretty cool.
What I'm hearing is that Star Wars ripped off JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I mean, I would say I'd actually have to look up the times of, or like when it came out, because I'm pretty sure Star Wars probably came out before.
So I'm just saying, like the descendants and the grandchildren fighting, and the descendant of the bad guy becomes the good guy.
That's true.
I don't know. Very true. They might have a case on their hands.
That is true.
As for talking about your writing specifically, and there's a lot of people who feel like they want to write and they have ideas, but they don't really, they start to write and they can't figure it out. And they maybe don't know what the avenue is to go for the process of writing and to get their writing out into the world. What would your advice be for someone that is thinking, I have this idea, but I don't really know how to get it out there? Would you say, here's a book you should read to give you some information? Here's something you should look to for inspiration. What would, you know, one or two pieces of advice be that you would give to someone in that position?
So first of all, like for me, it was keep writing. Like, that's like, I think I stopped myself when I first started because I got to that point. I was frustrated. I couldn't figure out like where I wanted to go. I didn't think of like, how am I actually going to write this? I had a really good idea, but I didn't know exactly, you know, like you said, how to kind of tie it all together. So I wanted to stop writing because, and obviously I lost my book. So that was another reason why I wanted to stop writing. But, but yeah, so first of all, keep writing. And then two, I guess for me, it was luck because I kind of knew someone who was already working on books and had like a children's book kind of published. So, I mean, I kind of had that resource, but just trying to, like you said, finding some motivational books, whether it's, you know, how to successfully write a novel or how to, or even like, you know, just some of the base stuff of like figuring out how to write, you know, how to narrate or how to write dialogue or things like that, because those things for me were really tough. Like, and that's one thing that I can't rely on anybody else for, because like I said, my buddy Tom, who's writing his book, he wrote a kid's book. You know what I mean? It was like, you know, it's like 20 pages, 30 pages, and they're all like pictures, you know what I'm saying? And big fonts and everything like that. You don't have to have dialogue. So I had to kind of look and, like you said, find inspiration in some books similar to what I wanted to write. So like I said, that's why I kind of draw back to Log Horizon. They had a very unique style and I enjoyed what I read. So in my mind, I, you know, they say, what is it? The greatest form of flattery is imitation. So like for me, that was what I did. Like I read that book and I was like, this is so good. I love the way that they kind of laid this out. So for me, I kind of went back into it and I said, because they did a similar thing. They said they started in the very beginning and then they kind of picked up from where it started, or, you know, from the, or they started in the future and then they picked up from the beginning. So in my mind, I was like, well, how did they do this? How did they, you know, how did they write this out? How did they deal with the dialogue? And I kind of took that and kind of made it my own as well. Just with my story, obviously. But yeah. I hope that answers your question. I think it does. I hope it does.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic.
So you've talked about your stories and like drawing inspiration from Sherlock Holmes, for example, other animes, and doing your own thing with it, right? Taking it and twisting it in your own way. And like you said, it's an homage, right? It's not like stealing. It's an homage, right? And that's... I love that in films. Again, I mean, I mentioned liking Tarantino earlier. I mean, if you like Tarantino, you better like homages, basically. So yep. Stuff like that, I think, works, and I like that. Can you talk a little bit about, when you're doing that, making sure that you have a unique voice and making sure that you're writing your own voice into it? You know what I mean? And making it your own style. Not in a sense that I'm asking it for... you know, well, how do you distinguish yourself from them? But more so, how do you stay true to your voice, I guess, is the real question. Because you want to make sure you're being honest with what you want to tell as a story, right?
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's actually a really good question. I believe, and I just did an episode on my show about this past week, where I was talking about like who has your undying loyalty, which was a show that I did, and I kind of talked to some of the main characters. But one thing that I try to do is like I always try to, I don't know, like I feel like it's really cool to leave part of you in the characters. So like when I'm writing out a character, it may be, you know, I may write out, you know, I think Obelisk right now, I think I have like 30, 40 characters that I've kind of developed in there, leaving a piece of me in certain characters. So it may be, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm cocky. Like I'm confident, right? So like when I'm writing out a character, it's like, okay, I'm writing this character and giving him part of my confidence. And like when I'm describing him or I'm giving him a personality, I'm giving him my personality, you know what I mean? Or I'm giving him my, I don't know, hell, it could be anything as simple as like my love language, you know what I'm saying? It's physical touch or quality time. So it's like, if I'm writing out a character, I'm literally imparting part of me into this character. So when I'm writing something, like you said, I like to, I don't know, I feel like that kind of sets me apart in that sense, because even though, like you said, it's similar to, you know, maybe something that you may have seen or something that you may have read before. It's the simple fact that like, I'm also kind of, I don't know, hiding behind a veil. You know what I mean? Like I'm kind of putting myself out there, but I'm not necessarily saying, hey, this is Matt. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm more like, okay, well, this character is a little bit like me. This character is more like me. And like you said, in the case of Now You See It, he's literally built off of, for lack of a better word, and the opposite of me. I'm more of an ambivert. So I'm partial to more of extrovert, like an extrovert nature. So I built him as kind of an anti-me. So I built him as more like an introvert. I built him as more of like, whereas I'm overly talkative, him being less, you know, a man of like less words, you know what I mean? So like, I just kind of put myself on, you know, into my characters and just kind of try to make them bits and pieces of me to kind of live on. So I guess I hope that answers your question, but yeah, that's kind of how I, you know, how I try to kind of differentiate myself. Like you said, I'm not great. Like a lot of those people that have done this, I'm just a normal person that decided to write, you know, and just thought that this would be a good idea. But if I can at least leave a piece of me, because like I said, the way that I kind of wrote and the way that I wanted to write, I told people before, like, and I've said this 1,000 times over, I just ultimately, when I write, what I really want is that one person, I can go to a Comic-Con or I can go whatever, you know, to any of these like anime conventions or whatever. I write and I'm wanting to write and be that person that if one person comes up to my booth and just ask for an autograph or just says, hey man, this was a really good job, that's all I want. Like, I, you know, I mean, if you know, if you get money or if it becomes a show or it becomes whatever, like, cool, I'm okay with that. But really, I just want like that one person, because that's what anime was for me. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It was something that came into my life at a very opportune time. You know, like I was in a really kind of weird space. And so when I got into it, I was like, this is actually pretty cool. And that kind of pulled me, I think, into a different direction in my life. And so like when people, so I just want that one person, like if somebody would just come up to me and be like, hey, can you sign this? Or I really enjoyed this. And I'd be like, yes, that's all I want. You know what I mean? Just that one person to say that. So, so I don't know. I just try, like I said, just trying to put myself in there.
That definitely answered my question. That was a great answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you've been talking a lot about these two stories, obviously, that you're working on right now, which are very near and dear to your heart and are clearly labors of love. But we always try to get a little look to the future out of our guests. And we just have to ask, do you have any inkling of maybe what your next story might look like? Is anything germinating that you could share with us, you know, even just a log line or something like that? Or are you just focused in right now?
I think I'm focused in right now. And I guess I think I technically answered this question a little bit earlier. I feel like kind of in a roundabout way. No, I mean, I'm going back to the roots and just going back through Obelisk again, just because like I want to be able to sit down and kind of focus primarily on one. And so I think the future state would probably be, you know, Now You See Me. That would probably be like the second one, just because I've tried to write them in tandem and it doesn't work, because I have this really good idea and I'm like, where does this idea fit? Like, does this go over here? Does this go over here? Does this, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to figure that out. And so it's kind of tough. So so I guess future state would probably be Now You See Me, kind of building that out a little bit more. But currently I really want to focus on Obelisk. So.
Totally fair. Like I said, we just have to ask.
No, that's fair. I don't have anything. Like, if I can get both of these out, like especially if I can get one out, I would be like just over the moon if I was able to just get one. And then if the second one was able to come out, then I'd just be so dope. It'd be so amazing to just kind of get that out. So if I could focus on one first and then come back to that other one, I'd probably do that.
Yeah. The next one is just gravy. Yep. That's just the cherry on top.
Exactly. So
we are getting to the end of the interview, and obviously we want to thank you for taking the time to be here today, but we do have a final question that we like to ask all of our guests. And that is there an independent creative or maybe a filmmaker that you're aware of and that maybe we might not be aware of and our audience might not be aware of, and we should check out their work, maybe even something on YouTube, or maybe they have actual films out? I shouldn't say actual films, because YouTube films are films too, but I just mean like maybe they have DVD copies is what I meant, as opposed to something that you can watch digitally.
No, good question. So my buddy Luke, he has, I know he does like a lot of horror screen shows, and I've watched like a couple of his like short films, like some of the stuff that he's been editing and some of the things he's been working on. And I know that he went to like school for that. Like that's something that he's really into, like cinematography and stuff like that. Like he enjoys that type stuff. He does a lot of like horror kind of like Yeah, I mean, horror films and stuff like that. And I've watched him, so I would definitely give him a shout out. As far as like some of the movies, we haven't been as in touch just because like COVID was weird. And I don't think that he's no longer with my company because he used to work with me. So we haven't necessarily been in touch as much. But I know the last time we were talking, he was kind of finishing up on a couple of, you know, like a small independent film that he was kind of working on, something he'd been working on for a while. So definitely give a shout out to Luke for that, because like I said, I saw some of his work and I'm like, this is really good. Like, you know, like people are like, oh, well, this is so good. I'm like, nah, his stuff was actually pretty good. I mean, for it to be the way, like shot the way that he shot it, and just kind of understanding like angles and like the darkness, like the contrast and stuff. I was like, for you to be like an independent guy that has never really done this for the first time, like, that's pretty cool. You know what I mean? So like, shout out to Luke. Like I said, I'll try to shoot you a link. I'm gonna reach out to him after we get off of this. And see if I can get a link to some of his work, because he has some pretty cool stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, we'd be more than happy to take a look at that. That sounds rad.
So thank you again so much for taking the time to be here today, Matt. We really appreciate it. And we want to, before you leave and before our audience has to say goodbye to you, we would like to give you a chance again to remind them about Anime Talk and tell them about your socials and where they can find you online and stuff like that. And again, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. I was just going to say the same thing again. Thank you for letting me jump on the show. Obviously, guys, I do better at podcasting and talking than I do necessarily writing. So I appreciate you guys giving me an opportunity to kind of talk about that. But like I said, my show is Anime Talk. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Anime Talk 12. That's Anime Talk, the numbers 1 and 2. So 12. Again, I talk pretty much all anime, 365, 24/7, different rankings. I do I thought about this afterwards. I do like a November Tournament of Power every year. So I do like a bracket, like a Sweet 16 or bracket. And I kind of break down different characters and kind of week over week, over 3 weeks, I kind of break it down and kind of give like a breakdown if they were fighting. So I try to do different things. I have different co-hosts that kind of jump on from time to time. People say that they like my voice. So if you like my voice being on this episode, then I think that you would enjoy it. But yeah, so like I said, that's Anime Talk. Like I said, I'm just a nerdy guy. I love talking anime. My episodes drop every Monday because I believe in giving people something kind of cool to listen to start off their week. So every Monday, my episodes drop. But you can find me pretty much anywhere that you listen to your podcasts: Anchor, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Apple, Google, Bullhorn, Bullfrog. I don't know what, I think it's Bullhorn. But yeah, pretty much anywhere that you get your podcast fix, you can find me on there. And if you actually, cool kind of like snippet, I found this out the other day. If you type in Anime Talk anywhere, like in Google, like to do a search, I don't know if like my stuff has been like kind of like aggroed up to the top, but like now my stuff kind of pops up kind of at the top. So that's kind of cool. I don't know. You can kind of see my logo. I have a really dope logo. So that's kind of cool.
Man's got the SEO going on right now.
I'm like, yeah, I was like, there was another show. I always have to tell people like Anime Talk 12, because there was another show called Anime Talk. I didn't think about that when I first started my show. I just said Anime Talk and I just went with it, but there's another Anime Talk. So now I guess, I don't know if they stopped doing there. So now mine pops up now. So I'm like, man,
fuck them.
All right, cool. Right. I'm like, if you don't want to keep doing it, I'll do it.
So. There was a, another GDT before us. And I think it had like one episode from like 2017 or some shit. We're like,
no,
nah, this is ours now.
This, you see, this is me now. I'm the captain now. So
yes, sir.
So, but yeah.
All right. So well, yeah. Thank you so much. I'm sure that you're going to get some of our listeners poached and coming over to you, because like you said, you do have a great podcasting voice. So I'm sure that they'll want to listen to that. And I know we have some fans that are listening to this that also watch anime and will be intrigued by that. So definitely, guys, check that out. Links will be in the description for sure. And hopefully we'll get a YouTube link for you guys too, for some cool independent films as well. But we'll see about that. And again, really, this has been great. I was looking forward to this from the get-go, but this went even better than I expected. We just another great guest, like we always say here on GDT. We are so lucky to have so many great interviews because it's not necessarily us, it's the quality of the guests. So I don't want to sound like I'm shouting myself out too much. I'm saying that I'm shouting you out. This was a great interview by you, like going on and taking our questions and answering them like in such length and like going into detail and like giving us exactly what we wanted and more. Like, honestly, thank you so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, that's give like the credit to you guys too, because I think that's one thing that is kind of tough, like especially like in any community, right? Is like nobody takes the time. I mean, I would say nobody, because obviously, you know, we take the time to kind of talk and stuff like that through different Twitter groups and stuff like that. But I mean, it's cool because nobody would take the time to like jump on a show. Like I wouldn't jump on a show that I didn't think that was going to be, you know, kind of cool or kind of worth my time. So shout out to you guys. You guys clearly have the personality and clearly have, you know what I'm saying, something that people are offering to where I'm like, yo, let's do it. You know what I mean? So just to definitely give you guys a pat on the back for sure. And I appreciate you guys, like I said, having me on. So that's awesome.
Really appreciate that, man. Thank you. Yeah. This has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Likewise. I have to get you guys on mine at some point so you can steal some of my listeners too.
Oh,
talk some movie say reviews less. Or something.
That would be so much fun. Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a good anime to watch and we'll come on and discuss it with you.
Yeah, for sure.
Do an anime movie. That'd be perfect. Sure. I would love it. This was like so easy to talk to you. It was great. And like I said, I was already looking forward to it and it exceeded my expectations. So thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. No problem.
There you have it, folks. That was our interview with writer Matt St. Jack, who is also a fellow podcaster, like we've talked about, from Anime Talk, the show. We want to thank him again for joining us and for giving us such great answers. We really had a blast and got to talking for a long time. So I know I enjoyed it. I hope that he enjoyed stopping by, and hopefully we have more to hear about from him in the future.
Seriously, Matt, thank you for coming on the show. I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. I look forward to maybe going on to Matt's podcast one day, as he invited us there at the end of the episode. As someone who doesn't have a lot of experience with anime, I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, like I said, stay tuned for that. If you guys listen to the episode, then you know what we're talking about there. And we want to, again, thank him and thank you guys as well for staying to the end of this episode. Thank you to all of our recurring listeners as well as our new listeners. Thanks for sticking around and thank you for checking us out. Hopefully you enjoyed it enough to want to check out more. So if you want to do that, you can always find us anywhere you listen to podcasts by searching the letters GDT. That's right, folks. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the free ones. We're available anywhere. You can find us there. Search those three letters. Subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star review if you're feeling nice. And if you want to follow us along on social media, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Good Data Pod, and on Facebook at GDT Podcast, where we post all of our shows and what's coming up next. I know we took a little bit of a hiatus this week. We are actually on vacation for this busy week that we are dropping 6 episodes on. But that is why you guys didn't get any social media posts. We'll be back next week with those, though. So be sure to follow us along on social media and stay tuned. Like I said, we have those 4 episodes a week. But if you guys have been listening this week, you know that we have 2 bonus episodes this weekend. Saturday and Sunday, we are dropping Kenobi Episode 1 and Kenobi Episode 2, as those just released this morning. So if you are already caught up with that, good for you. You're just like us. We watched it right when it came out. But if not, get caught up on that, because we'll be dropping our episodes discussing episodes 1 and 2 on Saturday and Sunday. So stick around for that, and that's the end of this show, folks. We will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in. As always, folks, we love you, and we can't wait to see you on the next one.